So, Pete, what are we talking about today?
All right, Kev, I kind of messed up with the travel agent, and I'm trying to get out of the house, but I'm trying to avoid large groups of people to be safe, so I kind of booked us for a trip to Alaska.
That's not where I want to go.
I mean, you don't want to live in a place where you don't see the sun for weeks at a time?
Yeah, but then you do see the sun for weeks at a time, and I feel like that's going to be a problem, especially in the genre that we talk about.
Hey, no gremlins.
Welcome to Fearless Films.
Fearless Films is a podcast where a horror movie buff, that's me, breaks down the scary movies for the scaredy cats.
That's a bee!
So they don't have to watch the movie.
So, we're going to Alaska because you apparently want me to freeze to death.
Listen, I'm not happy about it either, but it's the
same. You made the plans, Pete!
I thought it would be safe, and I was wrong.
Oh, great. What's happening in Alaska, and why are we going there?
Well, we were going there to get away from everything. You know, isolation, protection, whatever. But apparently, vampires got wise and came up to Alaska to eat people.
Why did they come up to Alaska to eat people? Do they like their meals frozen?
Not necessarily, but the important bit is that in Alaska, well, specifically the town that this movie takes place in, there is a period of time where there are 30 days of night, which is the title of today's film.
Really?
Kevin, we've been over this.
Horror How many days of night are in the movie, Pete?
There are 30.
30 days, and it's nighttime the entire time.
Yep.
And so they called it 30 Days of Night.
Yes. It's very direct and it lets you know what you're getting into. What more could you ask for?
Anything. Cleverness? Panache?
You can go to the romantic comedies for that, alright? Horror films are about telling you up front what you're getting into.
So the romantic comedy Failure to Launch wasn't actually about an airline pilot who was unable to take off, Pete. It was what, and I know I'm gonna have to explain this to you as a horror fan, we like to call a metaphor.
I don't understand that.
Apparently not.
Why is that movie not about pilots?
I don't know, Pete. It was one of the great failures of that particular movie. That and, I guess, Matthew McConaughey. Failure to Launch took place in 2006.
Oh, wow. That's a year before today's movie, which came out in 2007.
Okay, so here's the question. We make fun of the early 2000s movies. Is 2007... Are we getting better at this point, or do you think this is still in it? Is this still in the deep?
I would say that this movie, which I enjoyed, was more an exception to the rule than the changing of the times.
Okay, so, you know, all the way up to 2010, there was still sadness and destruction in the world of movie making. But this movie, apparently, regardless of the name, was a good one.
Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. And upon revisiting it, because I hadn't watched it in a while, I found myself still enjoying it.
Now, Pete, this is you talking, and I don't want to say anything bad about your tastes, but your tastes in movies suck.
Wow.
Sorry, but we can edit that out so I'm nicer. I would say, Pete, that you are a little forgiving when it comes to horror movies. What do you think?
No, I thought this one actually was good in, like, an actual quality. Not just right, for my tastes.
I am somewhat hopeful that this will be a quality movie to talk about, so why don't we jump into it?
All right. Well, you can't exactly jump to Alaska, but taking a boat is a pretty good method of getting there.
What's wrong with flying? Can't we just fly?
That's boring. So the movie opens, you see a figure...
The marvel of flight is boring?
Yeah, it's done to death, Kev.
Not in Failure to Launch. They didn't fly nowhere.
And that was their failure.
I get it. It's a joke.
Yep. So now, this movie opens with a mysterious figure coming ashore on Alaska, And you see in the background, like, there's this big shipping boat that they've rowed off of in a little rowboat. And this figure starts walking towards the nearby town of Barrow, Alaska. Which is a small town with, like, only about, like, 150 people in it or something like that.
I'm pretty sure Alaska only has 150 people in it.
I think it's more than that, but yeah, it's not crazy. So, the town is preparing for their annual period of time where, for an entire month, there's no sunlight. Because, you know, the tilt of the Earth and the rotation, you know, all that astronomical stuff.
I feel like this is going to be super far north then. I don't think all of Alaska is, like, month on, month off.
Well, I thought, from what I remember in my school days, there are parts of the world where it's, like, 6 months of darkness, aren't there? I don't know.
True, I think, but this is not a geography podcast, thank God, because we'd be so bad at that, and I have absolutely no evidence to back up the claims that it's 6 months of anything anywhere, so.
No evidence to back up the claim, so basically everything we talk about on this podcast.
That's true, in which case, yes, Pete, there is a place, it's called Tanuckville, and they do 6 months straight of darkness and 6 months straight of daylight, and they also export fish.
Cool.
Great angler fish is their main export. They use them as lamps.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah, you guys can say that you heard it here at the podcast where we tell you nothing but the truth, and we definitely research everything we talk about. Moving on!
So this mysterious figure moves towards the town and begins secretly sabotaging their communications and their transportation.
Well, that's not nice.
No.
So this is not a nice person.
No, this is a bad guy.
You can tell because of the cape.
He's not wearing a cape, he's wearing a heavy jacket with a hood. It's Alaska, Kev.
I'm guessing the jacket has, like, a cape.
No. You're going too far in the wrong direction.
I'm just gonna imagine a cape.
Alright. We're then introduced to the main character of the movie, a man... Alright, this one, I'm throwing you the biggest of bones here, Kev. This man's name is Eben Olsen.
Ebenezer?
Maybe,
but they only ever call short.
They only ever call him Eben or Eb, and I remember distinctly the first time I ever saw this movie, I kept thinking everyone was mispronouncing Evan, and I didn't get it.
Just everybody has a slight speech impediment in this movie, Pete. Don't point it out. It's very rude.
His name is Eben, which is a name I never heard before, and now upon you making that joke, I realize it must be short for Ebenezer.
Maybe, although why would they shorten it again? Like, the first shortening wasn't enough. They're like, all right, Ebenezer, way too long. Eben, sure. And then after a couple weeks, they're like, you know what? I think we made a mistake. Let's go with Eb.
Yeah.
Pretty soon they're just going to be at eh. Hey, eh.
So, Eben, played by your boy Josh Hartnett.
Joshy.
All right, calm down.
He owns like a money lending place and hates his subordinates and doesn't pay them well enough.
No, he is the sheriff of the town.
And Nottingham?
He Barrow. And he discovers that his estranged wife Stella She missed the last plane out of Barrow and is now stuck with them for the 30 days. And since they're estranged and not doing well in their relationship, he's very upset about
this. Oh, is that what estranged means?
Listen, this is a very quick setup. They're like, hey, here's some characters with problems. Go.
They got problems. He also drinks a lot. I don't know. Shut up. Just watch the movie.
This is all dropped on you in, like, the first 5 minutes of the movie. It's just like, guy, estranged wife, they're not happy to be together, but they're together. Go.
I'm sorry. What? She missed her flight out, so she's stuck with them for the next month?
Yep.
Because planes can't fly in the dark.
The planes
are scared of the dark in this movie?
According to the logic of the movie, they won't get any more planes in or out until after the 30 days of night. Despite what we said earlier, I did the research, and no, planes come once a day in Barrow, Alaska.
Is Barrow, Alaska a real place?
It is.
Does it actually have 30 days of night?
It does have something similar to that, but it's not like this, oh, we're shutting down and nothing's going to happen. No, it's just, it's dark now.
Oh, man, it's dark. So it's like New England, I feel like, sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just dark all the time and we're sad. Don't worry about it. We move on.
Interesting point. In the movie, a character mentions that they during the 30 days of night, they clean out all of the alcohol in the town because, like, with constant darkness, like, depression can flare up, people drink too much, they hurt themselves, that type of thing.
That happens.
The reality of Barrow, Alaska is that they...
It's Party Town USA when there's 30 days of night.
No. Oh. All year long, it's illegal to sell alcohol in that town, but... It's not illegal to have and to consume alcohol.
What is it, pot? Like, I think they're a little bit behind the times here.
It's the health issue, because when you live in that type of environment, like, I believe I've read before reliably that, like, there's more suicide percentages in Alaska than any other place on Earth.
It's because it's really dark there and cold. Why would you live there?
I don't know, but people do, and then they get sad.
Okay, but saying that alcohol is the reason for it then pretty much means that all of Russia should have committed suicide, like, years ago.
No, in Soviet Russia, we're tough. We handle alcohol. Alcohol does not handle you. So, anyway, you're quickly introduced to a few characters, you know, they just sporadically throw some... Here's the sheriff, here's the loner guy who lives out on the edge of town and looks like he's really tough. Here's the sheriff's younger brother, who's the, you know, younger, weak, innocent character who, you know, we have to protect their innocence.
Look, here's some stereotypes. Stereotype, stereotype, stereotype. There you go. You get all your cliches.
And then you get a smattering of townspeople. You know, there's just, here's a bunch of people and stuff like that. What's interesting is, like, when they prepare for the 30 days, there's some couples who stay together there, and there's some who's like, oh, the husband can't handle it, so he leaves for the 30 days and then comes back.
What? Okay. Weird.
Yeah, I don't know. So everyone's preparing for lockdown, and then the sun goes down, and you think, well, we're just in for a nice 30 days of quiet time and relaxation. But no. We learn what the mysterious stranger was preparing for by taking out their communications and their vehicles.
I'm sorry, was anybody actually thinking that, or...
I mean,
like, that'd
the
be
townspeople
a real...
were.
Okay, that'd be a real boring movie. It's just nighttime.
The mysterious stranger was actually preparing for his masters to show up, a group of vampires who now descend upon the town to feed.
Do they fly?
They do not fly. They can climb up walls and they can jump really far.
That doesn't sound like vampires.
All of their teeth are very sharp, not just their canines, and their eyes are, like, all black.
Okay.
Oh, and their fingernails are very sharp claws. To give you a description of what type of vampires these were, this movie came out a year before the first Twilight film and was, like, the last bastion of the time of... violent, monstrous vampires.
I was gonna say, vampires were mean in this movie, as opposed to any movie past this.
Yeah, I guess somebody in Hollywood knew that they had to just get it all out before Twilight became a thing, because these vampires are very mean.
Have there been any horror movies really dealing with vampires since Twilight? They kind of, like, stopped being a horror thing.
I think we're just waiting for them to come back into, you know, fashion. Zombies kind of took over for a while, so...
That's true.
Because vampires weren't cool anymore, so zombies were like, it's our time.
Well, vampires were very cool, just with, you know, teen girls.
So, the vampires start out slow, like, they're sneaking around the town, and we, the audience, get to witness, like, they break into a one couple's house and, like, kill them both there. So no one's alerted yet, widespread. Meanwhile, the mysterious stranger has run into trouble. After he breaks all this stuff secretly, he goes to the bar and starts causing trouble when they won't give him alcohol, so Eben arrests him and locks him up in the jail.
So he's an alcoholic servant of vampires.
Yes, yes. Evil knows no, you know, it can't avoid the weaknesses of man.
Is this saying something about evils of alcohol? I feel like we're kind of, again, a little behind the times when it comes to, like, what the bad substance is.
No, I don't think that's. I don't think the movie is trying to be a metaphor for anything. More so this character, the mysterious stranger, who that's what they're credited as, by the way. They get no name.
I was wondering why you kept on dropping that.
He's like the Renfield character from Dracula. Like, he's a human servant of the evil vampires who just does their bidding and generally is very dirty.
Is that a character trait?
Yeah, like he's
just filthy.
He just looks sweaty and oily and his teeth are like grimy. It's ugh. But yeah, they lock him up and he says, like, well, you're all dead anyway, so who cares? And, you know, Eben's like, what the fuck does that mean? And then we start to see the vampires get a little more active and they're now ripping people out of their homes and chasing them about. And the main characters get wise. So Eben, his estranged wife, his brother, and a few others, like, start boarding up the... Or they take shelter in the jail, and all hell essentially breaks loose at this point. And what follows is this montage scene where vampires are just running amok all over the town, ripping people out of their houses, like, ripping their throats out. The townsfolk are trying to fight back with, like, what guns they have, which seem to work, apparently. In this universe, if you just shoot a vampire dead, they'll be dead.
I was going to ask what the, like, do these guys, these vampires seem super strong or super fast or anything?
They are, they're super strong, they can leap great distances and stuff and all that, but like, yeah, like, apparently bullets kill them.
They're just some dudes.
They're just super strong people who feed on blood. But yeah, oh, and interesting thing about the vampires, they're led by this character who in the credits is listed as Marlo, but none of the vampires ever say each other's names, so I don't know why they bothered. And the vampires...
Mysterious stranger. Mysterious-er stranger.
Mysterious group of strangers. But the vampires all speak their own language, which the creators of the film just made up. It's just a fictional language. But we do get subtitles for them, which is nice.
Well, that's great.
Mostly their dialogue is just telling their victims how there's no hope, there's no God, and they're all gonna die.
Wow. What an uplifting message.
Yes. But yeah, they basically just tear the town apart, leaving just very few survivors hiding in various places while they take their time feeding on their victims. The main characters are eventually flushed out of the jail, and they end up going to another person's house and, like, hiding up in an attic. And the vampires go to their little Renfield guy, and he's like, you're gonna turn me now, right? I did what you wanted. And the leader's like, no, sorry, and snaps his neck.
Well, that's not cool.
Yeah, they just fucking used him and threw him away.
I mean, at this point, I mean, with so much of media devoted to these vampires and the Renfield-like characters, you'd think that they'd have learned by this point. Like, if a posse of vampires rolls up and they're like, hey, do our bidding and we'll make you immortal, I'm like, no, that's not how that works. I know how this works.
So then we get a cut where it's 18 days later. These people have been hiding.
They're doing fine. Great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They had a bunch of food up there, but they're starting to run low.
Oh, they were hiding, right. They weren't, like, barricaded in.
Literally, like, Anne Frank style in an attic for 18 days straight. Just not talking, not making a lot of noise.
Fun.
So they're running low on supplies, so they agree that they're going to try to make a trip to the general store to grab stuff and come back. This does not go as planned. Surprise, surprise.
Really?
They get to the general store, and they're spread out getting supplies and stuff when two of them encounter, at the back of the store, they see a little girl vampire feeding on a dead body.
I'm confused, honestly, why the vampires are still here. It's been 18 days, and when you said the first day they just, like, murdered most of the town and was feeding on them, I'm like, okay... They're probably done, right? You'd think after 10 days they'd have moved on.
No, they apparently want to get every single person, and they're willing to take their time. They know they have 30 days, so they're just like, fuck it, let's just take it slow and do it right. Buy the book.
This sounds personal now.
It's basically a vacation for them.
Oh, that's great. You know, everybody needs to relax and get their feet up.
Yeah, yeah. So they encounter this little girl vampire who wasn't a turned one. This was a vampire that was already part of the group, mind you. And she's the only one of the vampires in the movie that speaks English, just because they needed her to be extra creepy. And she's like, I'm done playing with this man. I want to play with you.
They did the creepy little girl part.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. So she starts chasing after the group, and they eventually, surprisingly enough for a movie, this never happens, and you'll appreciate this, Kev. Two of the adult main characters grab her by the arms, pick her up, and pin her to a wall.
Nice.
Because she's a, like, 3-foot-tall child.
They're like, wait a minute, why are we running from her?
Despite having the benefits of vampire strength, physics still apply. So the adults are holding her down, and Eben's younger brother grabs an axe and decapitates her.
Well, we know that works. Even in the old stories, that works.
And to really understand what type of horror movie this is, Kev, like, it's a couple whacks, and there is blood spraying everywhere.
Oh, it's one of those horror movies.
Yeah. So, after that happens, the group of vampires is alerted to their presence because of all the noise.
The whacks, if you will.
Yes. So, Eben creates a diversion by having the vampires chase him away while the others split off. He runs to his grandmother's house, who... earlier,
I don't think she's doing well.
She, at this point, had been killed off-screen. But the characters had humorously mentioned earlier in the film how she was growing her own pot. So what he does is he runs to her house, the vampires chase him, and when they break through the door, he hits them with the UV lights she was using to grow her plants.
I thought that was going to go where he just gets them super high.
No. So the first vampire through the door gets blasted with UV light in the face and gets horribly, horribly burned.
Ah, so that works.
We know sunlight works. But then immediately, because this movie is cleverer than most movies, like, the vampires pull back, and then, like, 10 seconds later, they cut the power to the house.
They're like, wait a minute, I know how to counter this.
So he has to run out of the house again. Real quick, though, the female vampire that got burned, the leader goes up to her and says in their weird language, he's like, what is broken must be broken. So basically, because she's damaged and can't hunt well, she's no good to them, so he kills her.
Wow. Harsh.
Yeah, no mercy vampires. Who would have thought?
Although it is very similar to how I run my business. So,
when your employees are weak and can't keep up with the orders fast enough, you have to take them out back and kill them.
What is broken must be broken.
Okay, well, that's good to know. But then the tips get spread out more, so that's nice.
Yeah, you know, everybody generally seems, they're pretty happy about that until, like, it's them that trips over a spoon or something.
Yeah, yeah. Those spoon-related hazards. So anyway, the vampires chase Eben some more, but he is saved by that town loner I mentioned before, the guy who lives off by himself and seems like
Comes up on a motorcycle who does gnarly tricks.
No, he comes up in a snowplow. And
I'm gonna just assume that's Alaska's version of a motorcycle.
Yeah, and he fucking just runs a bunch of them into a wall and crushes them.
Was there somebody there? I can't see over this damn plow.
Whoops. So then he helps get the others to safety, but then he goes back to help Eben, the loner guy. He jumps into a tractor.
Please tell me that at least the loner guy has a name.
His name is Bo.
Of course it is.
So Bo gets
Does he
in this.
Use a bow and arrow?
No. Oh. He uses a shotgun.
It's disappointing.
He jumps in this tractor with a device on it that earlier in the film they called a. What was the word they used? It's
meat grinder.
It's like that. It's basically
what?
Something they use to carve out paths in the snow for their roads. So it's
okay.
This big, it basically is like a giant industrial chainsaw on the front of a tractor.
Okay.
Yeah, like it's just a big rotating series of like axe heads, you know? to carve through ice. So he gets in one of those and starts driving that through the vampires.
Man, he don't give no fucks here.
Yeah, it's a beautiful bloody sequence where he's just cutting them in half, he's shooting them with his shotgun, tearing through them, and eventually he crashes into a building and they start, like, coming at him, so he grabs a box of flares, puts it on the ground, lights one, and just drops it into the box and creates this big explosion.
Is he dead now?
Unfortunately for him, no.
Oh no!
Because
that's
of,
not good.
Because of movie physics, he just gets blown away and injured but not killed, even though he was standing right over the explosion.
No, that's apparently the safest place for explosions in movies. You gotta be right there so that the initial blast blows you out of the range of the fire, I guess?
So Marlowe, the leader of the vampires, pissed off that some of his number were killed, just walks up to the guy and doesn't even, like, bite him or feed off him. He just crushes his head with his boot.
That's fun.
But hey, Eben's still alive, so that's good.
Yeah, no, that's what matters. Good old Ebenezer.
He's the main character. He's got to learn the lesson of Christmas.
That is very important.
So Eben gets back to the main group, and everyone else is basically okay, except for one guy who did get bit, so he begs Eben to put him out of his misery before he turns fully into a vampire, which they go into a back room and Eben grabs an axe and we don't get to see what happens, but he kills his friend to spare him the horrors of vampirism.
Vampirism? Is that a word?
It is.
Is that how you say that word?
Yes.
All right. Sure. Okay.
Sometimes I do my research.
Sometimes. Ebenezer.
Not Scrooge.
Okay, I had to take a break from that because it was too dark. Not like the moon, it was just physically dark. It was no sun. I don't know why people would live in that situation, but whatever. So, Pete, now that we are in daylight for a couple minutes, what have you got for us in the horizon? On the horizon? In the horizon? For the horizon?
Have you figured it out yet, Kev? What's the correct phrase?
I said one of them. I said it in one of those, so, you know, we'll edit out the other part so I look smart. Go ahead, Pete.
The old darts at a dartboard method. Okay. Kev, next week we're going to be talking about a slasher classic, Child's Play. You know, the
Would
one
Would it be like a slashic?
Yes! Trademark that right away. But this is the one about Chucky, the killer doll.
Oh, right. I can't wait to see how anybody dies to this little thing.
Yeah, this is going to be difficult. You're going to be fighting me the whole time, I feel like. Kev, it's like Special Forces. It's about sneak attacking your enemy, ambushing them when they are unprepared.
And being 16 inches tall.
Listen, he's Cabbage Patch size.
Literally a doll, Pete.
He's big enough to hold a knife.
We're not going to fight like this right now. We're going to fight like this next week. Have we got anything else coming up? Or is that it? Are we done for the rest of our lives?
Oh, you wish. No, the rest of the month is going to be filled with hauntings and Santa-themed serial killers. So you just get ready, Kev.
Oh, great. We'll Santa-themed serial killers.
One thing at a time. We'll start with the killer doll.
I knew there was a reason why I hated Christmas season. It's the bad horror movies. That's it.
Delightful is the word you meant to use there?
Yeah, no, that's it. Okay.
Filled with holiday cheer and bloody axes.
Well, if you guys have any other holiday cheer that you'd like to send us your way, please do so.
Did you just slip and say horror day cheer?
No, I did not. Oh, you know what? I was going to promote us, but now I want us to die. So you guys don't get to know what our Instagram or Twitter is.
It's just look up Fearless Films on Google and you'll find us.
Or don't. Or boycott us. That's fine. I'm okay with that now.
No, Kev, no one's going to boycott us. They're going to enjoy the rest of the episode. So let's get back to it.
All right, I just thought of something. If the dramatic final scene of this movie is the sun breaking over the horizon in, like, a glorious display after 30 days and rescuing the last vestiges of hope that were hopeless because the monsters had cornered them, I'm gonna lose my shit.
We'll see what happens, huh?
I feel like I'm gonna lose my shit.
All right, so after the sadness of having to kill one of their own, we get another two-week cut.
Oh no, not so-and-so. He was my favorite.
His name was Carter. And yeah, he didn't really do a ton before that scene.
Really deep into the character development this movie is, huh?
Yeah, they went really quickly into the killing. So 2 weeks later, they've been holed up again for multiple weeks, when they see a signal, a flashlight, coming from another nearby house.
Hold on a second. Hold on, I'm doing math right now. You said 18 days later.
Yeah.
And now that's obviously 18. And now you're saying 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is 14.
Yeah.
I know that math. That's more than 30, Pete.
Shh. Don't. Shush. Don't let the math ruin it.
The name of the movie is literally 30 Days of Night. So now we're on day 32.
Okay, so to be fair, to be perfectly fair,
we ever been fair?
The movie itself doesn't list specific days. It just cuts and you see, like, beard growth on the main characters. If you look online, like, a synopsis of the movie, that's when people start inserting their own time frames, and they're clearly wrong, so...
Yeah, I was gonna say, none of these time frames work.
We can just assume that, like, at this point, like, 3 weeks have gone by, so we have, like, little time left in the 30 days.
And they've survived pretty well so far, considering there's bloodthirsty vampires inhabiting the town.
Yeah. So they see this signal from another house, and they realize that it's Billy, the sheriff's deputy.
You know, these vampires aren't very good at this. They've had, like, 3 weeks to eradicate, like, a fairly small town, but there just seems to keep on being survivors, Pete.
I'm wondering if they, like, eat a bunch and then they get lethargic and have to rest for a day.
They gorge themselves and they're like, "Woo! Man, mama needs a lie down."
Yeah, because their metabolisms work different than humans, it's like they need 24 hours to nap.
That's a good explanation as to why these people are all still alive.
So, Eben and Stella, they go over there to find
Stella!
Billy. Nobody screams her name in the movie.
That's really, they feel like they really let down that opportunity here, Pete.
Yeah. So they go over to find Billy, and they discover that here's where the movie gets really, somebody was taking notes from Stephen King.
Oh, no.
Billy has mercy killed his family so they don't have to suffer a worse fate.
Wow, Billy.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Here's the part that's going to annoy you, though, Kev. He apparently shot them all in the head. Apparently this didn't alert any vampires.
No. Shots are very quiet. The snow dampens the sound.
So there's a very emotional moment where Eben's, like, yells at him for hurting his family, and then they drag him back to be with the main group.
And he's probably gonna survive and be like, "Man, maybe I shouldn't have murdered my family."
He's basically just a blubbering mess for the rest of the movie, so yeah.
Yeah.
However, when they get back to where the group was hiding, everyone's gone. And it looks like there was a fight.
Was there a firefight?
Probably not. Didn't hear any gunshots. But I don't know. In this town, apparently
you don't hear gunshots in the snow, Pete.
Yeah.
It's nature's silencer.
However, they do find evidence that maybe they've retreated to the town's, it's called a utilidor. It's basically their power and sewage treatment station.
That sounds very fancy for a power and sewage station. Utilidor.
It's basically just like this large building that has like the power station controls in it, and like it has, earlier in the movie they showed us, it has this giant industrial like grinder where it's like you can throw any trash into this thing and it will grind it down to nothing.
Ah, they have a Chekhov's gun. Okay.
Yeah, very much.
They just needed to be like, look, here's a thing that people will use later.
Yeah. So they go over there, but on the way over, the Billy and Eben get separated from Stella because she goes to save
a
little girl who was, like, wandering traumatized by herself down the street.
How did a little girl survive this far?
She's probably bait because she's, like, covered in blood and in shock.
But man, this is not a nice movie for people and families.
However, going back to your point about these vampires not being very good at what they do, Stella's able to grab the girl and hide, and they're just successfully hidden now.
That's terrible bait. I don't think they know what bait's supposed to be for.
Yeah. So, Eben and Billy make it to the power treatment building thingy.
How many are left at this point?
Not many.
I've got Stella, Eben, and Billy. And then Billy is barely psychologically there anyways.
We are about to learn that Eben's brother and some other random woman made it to the Utilidor successfully. However, when Eben and Billy get there, they're attacked by one of the vampires who bites Billy. Then they fight off the vampire, and then Billy tackles it and pushes it into that big giant industrial grinder thing I was telling you about.
There it is.
Yep. However, Billy's hand gets taken off by that thing as well.
There it isn't anymore.
Yeah, but and then right, like, immediately after, Billy, as he's screaming in pain, starts screeching like the vampires do, so Eben has no choice but to cut his head off with an axe before
he was
turns.
Standing right in front of a meat grinder. Just push him in. Maybe I'm not very sentimental about people.
That's undignified, Kevin.
Just push. There, that job's done.
So yeah, so we're down to Billy, Eben, his brother, random lady trapped in the building, and Stella and the little girl trapped outside somewhere.
I'm sure that random lady has a lot of life left in her.
So what happens is, as the month is coming to an end, I guess we
there
had another time jump here.
Because they got to that place where everybody knew where they were, and they're like, you know what? We'll leave them there for a couple days. It's fine.
The vampires are like, all right, we're done here. Time to get rid of all evidence. So they start burning the town down.
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. They're just like, it'll look like an accident, and nobody believes in vampires.
An accident
still.
That burned the entire town down, huh?
Yep. Everybody died. So Evan's like, you know, Stella's stuck. If she runs, they'll kill her. If she stays put, she's going to burn to death. I need to save her. And
I'm sorry, is she still hiding where that girl is?
Yep, they're just huddled under a car at this point.
For days?
Yeah, that's what they make it seem like.
Okay.
Yeah. So what Eben does, he's like, we can't fight these things as we are, so I need to be on their level. So he grabs a needle from, like, a first aid kit, takes some of Billy's infected blood, and then injects himself with it.
Okay, so he's turning himself into a vampire.
Yes.
That's the worst decision you could come up with.
So he goes out there to confront the vampires. Like you
and
do.
Now he's glittering, no. And he's all muscly.
He apparently...
Sorry, that's just how I view Josh Hartnett, anyways.
I know. Apparently the vampires have a code of honor because he challenges the leader and they get into a fight where none of the other vampires intervene.
Oh yeah, now that he has the vampire blood in him, he knows about the duel of the vampire.
Apparently.
That is a time-honored tradition since the days of yore.
So they have a fist fight that goes on for a few minutes, and at the last second, the leader dives at him to kill him, and Eben literally punches his fist right through the leader's face.
Ouch.
And out the
That's
back of
great.
His head. Yeah, it is gross.
It sounds like a lot of this movie's gross.
Upon seeing the defeat of their leader, the vampires leave.
Well, we tried, folks.
They just are like, well, it was a good fight, and we're done here. And they just leave.
We already ate a lot. I am very full.
So Eben is reunited with Stella, and she holds
Stella!
She holds him in her arms as they both watch the sunrise, and he turns to ash and blows away.
All right, that is a thing.
Because we can't have a happy ending.
No, we can't. That would be silly.
And then supposedly the three survivors, or four survivors, live, I hope. Maybe?
And are traumatized for the rest of their days.
Yep. So that's 30 well, Days a Night.
It was one of those horror movies.
Yes, it was.
It was one of those, it's like a very classic style horror movie, where it's like, everybody's sad, and also, it's real bloody here now.
Very much so, yes. It is a bloody, bloody movie.
Is it My Bloody Valentine, though?
It's bloodier than that one, for sure.
It's bloodier than a movie where bloody was in the actual title.
Yep.
And then they also hated, like, families and happiness and endings. So, you liked this movie. You thought it was a great thing for you to do with your life.
Yeah, it's a entertaining little bloody romp.
Yep, bloody romp. That's what I call it.
For when you just need to see a whole bunch of people get eaten, this is the movie.
That's going to be in my... Is that your recommendations? If you're just looking for a bunch of people to be eaten, watch this movie.
Yeah. I mean, the production's really good. It's a very well-shot movie. The special effects are great. Lots of practical effects.
They actually put their fist through somebody's head in the movie. It was crazy.
The vampires are cool and monstrous and interesting. I mean, I'm going to nick the script a little bit. You don't dive too deep into any characters. Like, the most you get is, like, Eben and his wife are estranged, and then throughout the course of the movie, they love each other again.
Well, yeah, all you really need... I mean, I think if movies have taught me anything, the only thing you really need if you want to, like, repair a broken relationship is a harrowing time of terror and death to really build those bonds back up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because people really work the best under an insane amount of stress and anxiety.
That leads to lasting good decisions.
Well, I guess she doesn't have to really worry about it anymore, because he's dust.
Yeah.
Poor Joshy.
He didn't escape this one. He fared much better in The Faculty.
And Lucky Number 11.
We're not talking about that movie, Kev. It's not a horror movie.
I will find some way to talk about it, Pete. No matter what.
By the way, this movie did do pretty well. It had a $30 million budget, and it made $75
million. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. It never got any, like, really actual sequels. Like, it got a prequel miniseries.
What?
Yeah, that...
That's a weird direction for this to take.
That was released on Fearnet.com and Fearnet On Demand, which was a...
Oh, yes, the good old Fearnet.
Yeah, it was a horror-focused, like, cable television network owned by Comcast that eventually just, like, merged with Chiller because it wasn't doing enough on its own.
I'm sorry, Chiller?
Which is another horror-focused company.
Man, I have no concept of any of these services.
Yeah. And then there was a sequel miniseries called Dust to Dust that was also on Fearnet. And then, oh, and also a straight-to-DVD sequel entitled Dark Days, but I don't think that...
Wow.
Like, there's no... Like, there's... I guess Stella comes back, but played by a different actress, and it's whatever.
So, even though the movie did pretty well, whoever decided to do anything else with this series or franchise just completely bungled it.
Yeah, they're like, ooh, let's jump on the horror streaming market, but this was in, like, 2009 when that still wasn't doing well.
Nope. I mean, to be fair, even now, anything that isn't really Netflix isn't doing incredibly well when it comes to streaming.
Yeah, I'd say the biggest horror-only streaming service right now is Shudder, which is, it's well-known and it's popular, but it doesn't have the biggest library. So it's been spending a few years just building up its own original titles.
Well, the people who made Jason can't even get the rights to Jason. So
yeah.
I'm not surprised that they're having trouble getting the rights to things.
But yeah, like if you're interested in 30 Days to Night, just watch the original movie. I've heard that all the spin-off stuff is just like okay at best. I haven't checked any of it myself.
Although I will say that is I guess if I had to make another version of this film, I don't know why somebody would force this on me, but a miniseries kind of makes sense. Like it's 30 days of like I can imagine this harrowing like over the course of a month thing constantly driving people down, and yeah, a miniseries kind of works in that.
Oh no, Kev, you don't understand. The prequel miniseries takes place in New Orleans.
And of course it does.
The sequel miniseries takes place in California.
Of course it does.
They never revisit the 30 Days of Night.
The whole point plot. Of the first movie.
Yeah, no, they don't
They're
go
like,
back to that.
That's not necessary. Okay, well, I tried.
So, Kev, I don't think you're going to watch this movie, are you?
No, I am not going to watch this movie, Pete.
Would you like me to compile a clip show of all the parts with just Josh Hartnett?
Yeah, just do that.
And then just show that to you?
Although I feel like Josh Hartnett gets his hands pretty bloody in different parts of this movie, too, so I don't know if I want that either. I'd really like to not watch people's heads get punched through and, you know, torn apart and all that other fun stuff.
Chopped off with axes.
Yeah, really, it's not my cup of tea.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
That's, you know what? I wasn't expecting that from you. To say that was fair.
It's a bloody movie.
It is. Okay, so we know it's not for me, because, I mean, look at it. But, like, who do you think it's for, Pete?
Definitely horror fans should check it out. If you want just a movie with really cool vampires just tearing shit up, this is basically, like, the best version of that you're going to get. Especially if you don't care about the human victim. Like, if you like to watch horror movies just to watch the monsters win, then this movie is for you.
It sounds like one of those movies.
If you're not a horror fan, this probably shouldn't be your first horror movie.
I will be the first to say that. This doesn't sound like something to jump into the genre with.
It's super gory, super bloody, super violent, and it's kind of a Pyrrhic victory for the heroes at the end, so...
Well, they don't even win! They just... Three of them survive while the rest of the vampires hightail it out of there, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Alright, how weird was it that, like, the entirety of the bad guys never spoke English? That seems a little weird.
It was fine.
Alright, fine.
It didn't bother me.
How is Sarah Jessica Parker's and Zooey Deschanel's acting in it?
What?
Did they play off of Matthew McConaughey's, like, reluctant,
oh my God,
boyish charm?
It's not failure to launch, Kev.
Well, apparently they can't fly. This is more appropriately titled than the actual failure to launch.
No, Kev. There's no romantic hijinks. Everyone just dies, all right?
Wait, are we still talking about failure to launch?
I don't know. I haven't seen that. Is that what happens in that movie?
Actually, yeah. They just get chopped up in a body chipper.
Damn.
It's real bad.
Kev, despite everything we've talked about, is there a niche market that you think you could sell this movie to?
I'm just trying to think. I mean, all right, if you like... If you really hated Twilight, I feel like this might be a good palate cleanser for you. If you also hate humanity, it sounds like this sounds like a good one. And sunlight. So I guess if you're Gollum... this seems to be... Gollum, if you're listening to our podcast, good job getting out of that volcano. I'm glad you survived. And watch 30 Days a Night. It sounds like a movie that's right up for you, because you hates them. Those dirty humans.
Alright, I dig it.
All right, I guess that's this movie. We're going to do a weird time jump. You don't know when. And then suddenly, wait a minute. Speaking of weird time jumps, they didn't even do the dramatic sunrise thing to save them. The sunrise thing was just, fuck you, Josh Hartnett.
Oh, yeah, no, the vampires just leave before the sun comes up.
That's such a disappointing ending. I think I'm just starting to really realize exactly what you said, because you kind of just kind of rolled through it really quickly, but, like, fuck that ending.
Yeah, I knew it wouldn't be for you.
The bad guys are like, all right, I guess we'll leave now. And the good guys are like, cool, I'm just going to die now. I'm like, what the fuck?
And the vampires are like, he has won the trial of honor.
Shouldn't he be in charge of them by that point now?
I guess.
That's the only time I've ever heard of trials of honor, so. Also, weird that every movie logic everywhere is like, oh, you challenge our leader, I guess we can't help. Even though, like, we've been systematically murdering you guys in the most unfair way possible this entire movie. But now that you actually, like, you know, asked, I guess we have to hold back.
And remember that whole, we need to eliminate all evidence so people don't know vampires exist?
No, that was just the leader shtick. He doesn't care.
I guess the rest of them didn't give a shit about that.
No.
All right, well, then they're fine. All right, Kev, I'm gonna give you some mercy now. I think we can stop talking about 30 Days a Night.
Good. I just can't get over... Man, don't go see this movie. It sounds like a real downer.
Especially
not when you're in winter in New England.
Oh, yeah. So that's all from us. I'm looking very much forward to next week where I can explain to you why a doll is dangerous.
Nope. It's not going to work.
It's going to be an uphill battle for me.
How many movies do they talk about this doll being deadly?
Like 6 or 7.
I can't. Nope. Maybe one death. I think one person could die from him. Because, like, nobody knows. He could probably surprise them. But that's it. That's all I'm willing to accept.
Okay. Well, until then, we'll leave it at that and just remind everyone out there, don't get too scared.